They always say of China that she absorbs every invasion, and however powerful they may be, in the long run she always conquers her conquerors. Africa may well do the same in a different way. It's popular to think of Africa as the coming country, the country which is waking up to the new political forces, new techniques, becoming Western, and so on. Personally, while I watch those Africans I know intimately, learning and absorbing our ways and our wants, I'm fascinated by their essential Africanness, and never more so than among their artists and musicians. Even when they pick up American jazz, mostly from records, they convert it to their own local styles. The dance bands of a Johannesburg African township produce a jive of quite a different kind from those of Rhodesia or the Congo. One of the basic reasons, I believe, is to be found in the resurgence of their tribal modality. In Johannesburg, the Bantu inhabitants mostly come from tribes which naturally divide the octave into only five intervals pentatonic, and in Rhodesia, they're heptatonic, and by and large, they mutually dislike each other's music. The perpetuation of these underground, inherent trays can be detected in unexpected ways. I'll play you a typical snatch of Bulawayo jazz. Now, the leader of that band, the saxophone player by name Musaregwa, was also the originator of that version of the tune, which he called Skokian, the name of a local brew, and it was afterwards taken up in America, where it appeared under the name of Happy Happy Africa. Now, this man told me that he preferred to recruit all his players from one tribe only, the Zezuru, because, he said, if he collected his players from different tribal origins, they played out of tune with each other. He had, in fact, one player in his band who was not a Muzizuru, the drummer, who was an Ndebele, but as he couldn't play out of tune on his drums, well, it didn't matter.